Andrew, welcome to the latest edition of Hurling Chat here on Galway FM. Delighted to be joined by Sarah Donlan and Niall Canavan. We'd start by looking back at last Sunday in Pearse Stadium, Galway against Dublin. Galway getting the job done. And the first thing I would say to you lads, I suppose the first box ticked into the top division of the league for next year by finishing or ensuring we finish in the top three.
Yeah, and you'd be happy enough with that. And if you looked at the end scoreline, you would have thought it was a very one-sided display or one-sided game. But it kind of was anthem both between Blackheart, Sindonoff.
Will we go there first? When you're talking about the referee, you're kind of chasing it from the start, aren't you?
Yeah, and I suppose they have a very difficult job. To me, you could bluntly say the standard has dropped somewhat across the country in refereeing. And then you could say the organisation done enough to support the referees? And that's not just fitness test or anything like that. That's rules and applying rules. The assessors, what's their job, what's their duty, what's the communications over and back from that, what's communication to the county boards relevant to that.
And I suppose, in fairness, the speed of the game, it is a hard game to keep up with, isn't it?
Yeah, but the game was always quick in my eyes. My problem, the issue around now is there's over the physicality aspect of it, the strength and speed of the players, but then we're reaching, Saturday evening, you'll be watching, there could be 10 passes between hand passes and flick passes before there's a strike. And it's hard to monitor that, but when you go to short passes, there's more contact in the game. And what we're seeing, it's possession-based now. The successful teams or the teams that are doing well seem to be minding the ball more. So you're looking at short puckouts, hand passing through the middle, overloading areas, breaking tackles, handing it off the shoulder. And it's
opening the door for physicality and possible fouls, etc.
Yes. Yeah. And it's harder, there's more context in the game in order to manage it. And as a result, we're seeing more dubious decisions from the games, the type of games we're watching.
Yeah, I know the last day we were critical on the radio, but I suppose looking at the Sunday game on Sunday night, Conor Whelan got hit.
Well, the two red cards, Conor Whelan one was.
Well, it was warranted in the sense, but from the punishment, from what we were seeing out in the pitch that he was taking throughout the game, he was getting no freeze at all. There was balls going into him. I know there were a lot of high balls going in, but there was pulling and dragging out of him. And at one stage in the first half, Sean, I remember he got a ball and all of a sudden there was a free out that was given against him. And very frustrating. And I'm sure as a forward, there's a lot going on. And Cyril, I'm sure when you were playing senior for Galway yourself, the forward probably wouldn't be getting the protection that he would deserve in comparison to the back might be getting away with a lot. But as Cyril says, the referees, they need help in one sense because there's so much going on now. And as Cyril said, the physicality of players, the strength, the fitness of the players as well. The ball is moving quickly. The players are moving a lot quicker as well. And, even the hand passing, there's a lot of talk. Are they legal or illegal? I do read the Sunday Independent every week, and Conor O'Donovan, the former Tipperary player, has a letter in about the hand passing all the time, that players are getting away with throws. And we saw them in the two games. Distinctly at the weekend watched the Galway or the Limerick match against Tipperary. There was a lot of throw balls. It's same in Pearse Stadium the last day. But there's other things then that need to be get right. We were looking at the linesman the last day in Pearse Stadium. There was two decisions wrong. He gave a line ball to Dublin in the second half that led to a score. There was a blatant Galway ball. And then he gave one straight away to Galway. There was a blatant Dublin ball that led to a point as well. So
there were two points that were looked at.
There was a lot going on, really.
I think when you get the crowd involved and on your back, it's hard for a referee to claim it back during the game, isn't it?
It's very hard. And you even see it in, the Premier Soccer games. The teams who are at home, probably get most of the decisions because the crowd is with them, and maybe you get caught up in it. And maybe
at Anfield now last Sunday, though, they mightn't have got the penalty, but go on anyway.
No, he got away with one against Nottingham Forest, I think, the week before that. There's a lot going on, and it's very difficult for the referees, and we don't want to be given out or anything like that, but because we have a vantage point from sitting in the stands looking down.
And even on the Conor Whelan one,
it's very, very difficult.
We didn't see that strike because of the wrong side of us in terms of that. So you can imagine for a team of officials out in the field, it probably is hard to see everything as well.
It's hard to see everything. The Whelan incident, he'll know himself. He made a mistake, that's the bottom line. I think with that, he's sending off. If you're going to give him a red card for a late hit on someone in Championship hurling or Munster Championship or even in the knockouts of the league, there'll be a lot of red cards. If a late hit is now deemed as a red card, not a head contact, not anything else outside that, a frontal charge more so, we'll be seeing a lot. hurling is kind of going down a similar path to football, and my view is football's in a bad enough place in regards. The rules now are derived by the defensive shape of the team, and the hurling rules, hurling is going that way in regards. Teams now playing
three
players inside their own 65 when they don't have the ball. Limerick, as much as anyone, as you're going to see this weekend.
And even last week, lads, I don't know, did you see Wexford and Waterford? Waterford were 2 points down or 3 points down coming near the end of that game. And the amount of balls that went into the Wexford full back line and the Wexford goalkeeper and at a Waterford forward inside when they needed they needed a score. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about, we didn't mention the sin bins. Galway had two sin bins against them in this year's league. The first one didn't matter because it was the last minute of the game. But the last day, Fintan Burke got sin binned early. We haven't seen it in hurling yet whereby the game would be slowed down. Like in rugby, the clock is stopped every couple of minutes when a person is off or when there's a break in play. In hurling and football, it goes on. So you could have...
So it's 10 straight minutes technically
irrespective of what happens. So you could have a situation where a guy might go down injured
to slow down the game
and a fellow go down for a couple of minutes injury because... And that's going to come in and we haven't seen that black card in a while now.
And the other definition on the black card, which I'd like to see again, but again, the TV coverage on the night was... limited enough. I mean, was he the last defender as well? Was there a defender could have got to...
I don't know. I don't know the exact actual rule, but does it stay if there's a goal-scoring opportunity?
Yeah.
Now, a goal-scoring opportunity means if I'm
so does it matter if there's a defender
there's
a coming to get you? Okay.
If I can give a hand pass off...
Okay,
yeah. But anyway, that's our little...
Yeah, that's... I suppose when the game came down... The close and finish, I think, was it 10 points to 1 that Galway outscored Dublin? That'll take some positives from that, because when it was 1-14 apiece, even with the wind against them in the second half, Dublin were in the game.
Dublin come away very disappointed with the finish they had out of Pier Stadium, and actually they were in a very, very good position. Galway had lost a man, I think, as I recall rightly, and I think it was Ronan Hayes that got the second yellow for the crack on Jack Grealish. Like, that was madness. He had no intention of getting the ball to him. He was probably a frustration that someone had overcooked a pass. Jack Grealish came across, showed good legs, intercepted it, and he just had a crack at him. And he nearly started walking from that.
Yeah.
And after that, in Dublin...
For 14 aside for a stage, then...
Yeah, it only went to 14 aside. I think it was 1-14 apiece when that happened.
Yeah.
Or it could even be 1-13 to 1-14 in Dublin's favour.
It was just 1-14 apiece. Galway was 1-14 to 1-13, and David Burke had a point to level it at 1-14 apiece. And then the sending off came. But Galway then got 9 further points in a row. They got 10 points in a row.
Yeah.
When Galway looked to be under a bit of bother now and under a bit of pressure... In fairness to them, they stood up to it and they got some really good scores. Tom Monaghan got a couple of great scores. Keenan Fahey went upfield to get a point as well. So there was a lot of positives in that sense, that Galway were able to turn it around in the sense that they looked in a good bit of bother. The decisions seemed to be going against them. Yeah. There was a bit of even aggro on the line. There was a lot going on. And Dublin had the bit between their teeth. But Galway, in fairness to them, were able to take the scores. Maybe that Dublin weren't able to take. And I suppose Dublin's finishing would have let them down. But in fairness to Galway, they got some really good scores.
Your point in our last chat about Dublin being short of an inside finisher has stayed in my head since that. I mean, if you give them a finisher last Sunday, they're creating enough of chances, aren't they?
And I hope to God they don't find one in the next 6 weeks, because they'll give plenty of teams fodder in Leinster as a result of it. Like, they're fit and they're physical and they have a good ability to upset teams in regards to the rhythm of teams and regards matching them in possession and chances, but are just not taking their chances. Only point to note as well, before David Burke went on, before Nyland came on, before Ronan Glynnon came on, in that area where it was just Galway took control of the game, we touched on the age profile of the team last week as well. I think it was Fintan, Keenan Fahey and Brian Concannon were the only three that were on the field. Were the only three Galway players that were on the field outside of your 2015 or your 2016 team. And with the exception of Derek Fahey and goalie. So when we took control back at the game, we had the older lads on the field. And it's just as we look forward to the next couple of weeks or even this weekend, it's trying to get the balance right of young and experienced players on the team. And can that blend happen? Because if we tag an old team for a championship, we get bet. Mm. If we tag a very young, fresh team, I think we'll struggle as well. And
it has to be a mix, doesn't it?
It has to be a mix, and it has to be able to filter in amongst each other.
And we'll obviously see a few changes next week as well. That we know are coming, at least. Well, I don't think there might be.
I think there's an appeal on that.
But Darren Morrissey will probably come back into it.
No, I think he may, I don't know, his injury, I don't know, would he be ready for this week?
Yeah, but you would anticipate he'd come back into the team in time. But then Cahill Mannion.
Oh, yeah, long term, yeah.
Cahill Mannion and Bryson Cannon obviously are back. Cahill came on, got a good point. You know, out around the middle of the field, we need his experience. Brian Concannon came in as well. Bit rusty, but obviously we'll get more game time this weekend. Interestingly, Evan Nyland didn't start last week. Conor Cooney took over the frees, played really, really well, in fairness to him, and set up Conor Whelan for the goal. So I'm sure there'll be a couple of forced changes, but it'll be interesting to see who those changes will be. Will the likes of Gareth McInerney come back into the fray, or will it be more an inexperienced player, a guy that maybe Tyrone Killeen or someone like that that was in squad the last day, just to see how they'd fare against
Limerick? I'm going to give you an interesting aside from the 30 players that have been used so far, right? And I'm just using last year's championship. The only lads that didn't play in last year's championship that have been used so far in the league are Derek Fahey. Obviously, looks like there could be a change there compared to Aidan Murphy was in the goal last year, obviously. Adrian Toohey only appeared as a sub against Antrim in last year's championship. You know, he's getting a bit of game time now. Keenan Fahey, I'm using because even though he played in the National Championship, he's playing in a different position, right? In that he's gone back to six. Gavin Lee didn't play in the National Championship. Donal O'Shea and John Cooney. So realistically, the way the team is heading is probably back to your point that, you know, when you see the likes of Joseph coming back last Sunday and did very well, Brian Concannon, Cahill Mannion coming back in, it seems to be tilting towards the more experienced lads the way it's going, isn't it? So Johnny Glynn to be thrown into there possibly as well. Obviously Darren Morrissey can come back in from the injury too.
And Declan Cooney, another lad that's injured.
Declan McLaughlin,
Declan McLaughlin, Kevin Cooney and Declan McLaughlin if they come back.
Yeah. Kevin Cooney and Declan McLaughlin would be both two young aspiring players.
Yeah,
that Kevin Cooney's made the break.
But it's just interesting watching it, isn't it? Like, you know, I keep asking the question, are we seeing the formation, the team or whatever, like... You know, even Sunday now, you know, I suppose for the Limerick game, as Niall said, obviously you would like to have Dahi and Conor Whelan for the game, but look at it, it gives an opportunity to someone else, right? There's always going to be days they could be injured as well as being suspended or whatever. So it's a chance for someone else. But it'd be interesting to see the makeup, formation and selection for the Limerick game, won't it?
Yeah, and what it should be was similar enough to Dublin. I said the strongest possible Galway team will take the field. So We don't really know insides in and out about niggles and a few bits like that.
Yeah.
But Galway look to be have their strongest team, and facing a Limerick team that will want to win the game. And I was thinking after the weekend and when I was looking at this fixture to see what's that, would Limerick come looking to win it? But they've come to win everything in every competition that they've gone to in the last number of years. They haven't took the foot off the gas in league, they haven't took the foot off the gas in Munster Championship, and they haven't took the foot off the gas.
Yeah, frighteningness there now with some figures on that. Like.
So, like, they've three of the last five leagues won. Was one of them a COVID? No, it was...
2020 was, COVID year, but it still won the league when it was
played. When it returned, yeah. They've five out of five in the last Munster Championships won, and they've five of the last six All-Irelands won. So,
Jesus, yeah.
Like, you could be saying we owe them one, or we owe them one. Every team in the country owes them one, because every competition that they've entered, they've almost inevitably won. They're a formidable force at the minute. It's great to be playing them. I think they'll want to get to a league semi-final, they'll want to win the league, and they'll want to go on into Munster like that. They're beginning to put up a small bit of mileage on the road as well.
Looking at the team they played against Chip, even though, weren't they fairly strong? Like, there's talks to the Cahill O'Neills and the Adam English's Colin Cochran's coming in, but if you look at their team the last day against Chip, like, the main boys were there and the Tom Morrisseys were coming in as well. Like,
yeah, and I think they'll come very strong as well. I think you'll have of the winning team of the last number of years, I think you'll have 10 or 11 or 12 of them on the field at the weekend. And it'll be just interesting to see. I think Galway have the ability to match them physically like no other team, but have struggled in regards, every other team has struggled in regards to the Limerick system, the way they're able to bring the ball into contact, the way they're able to move the ball,
system,
the way the system that they know, even their puck out structures alone, how they defend puck outs. And a very, very difficult test early on in the year, but it's great. It's on a Pierce Stadium. It's set for a right good
game. But it's a great time for the test as well, though, isn't it? Like, you're going to learn.
Brilliant.
Like, yeah.
And we'll still be, a month or 5 weeks away from Leinster Championship.
And even before you finish the point, like, all week, Limerick be hard. If Galway beat Limerick, Tip, you will expect, will beat Antrim. It'll the three teams would end up on the same points, so come down to scoring difference, and Galway's scoring difference right now is pretty decent. We could actually knock Limerick out of the league. So I think, did Henry Shefflin say that it's a de facto league quarter final?
If Galway win, they're through. If it's a draw, more than likely they'll be out. But if they win, they're through. But it's looking ahead to the summer, it's very hard to know how you would set up against Limerick. If you hand them the puck out and maybe they have three or four across the full back line, they're going to try and work up the field. The only team really who have got 15 on 15 over them or regularly over the last 2 years has been Clare. They've come up short, and by the time they've got to the Ireland semi-final, they weren't able to produce against Kilkenny in 2 years in a row. So is it, were they just wrecked, or did that take so much out of them to go man for man in Limerick over those 2 years?
Yeah, and we've definitely seen a drop in Clare performances when they arrived at Croke Park. I think they've put, it wasn't even Limerick, they've just put so much effort and energy into the Munster Championship, which they have to in order to get out of it, and have just come up just short of Munster finals. They could argue about a referee in last year's Munster final and the decisions that went against them late on. I think it's a great test. Galway are trying a new fullback.
Yeah, new goalie looks like.
Yeah, so they'll be putting the pin on the collar early. Yeah.
New centre back as well.
New centre back, yeah.
New centre back.
Like, it looks like Keenan has been put into six. Fintan was three the last day. Derek has been in goal. I mean, you made the point that I said maybe Aina could come for this game. But, you know, again, if they go with Derek again, it looks like.
If they go with Derek again, it looks like the
decision's made, there.
If they go with Fintan again, full back, it looks like they have a decision made there. Yeah. We didn't really see Doughty to wing back. Everyone has, over the last number of years, have been talking about Doughty three or six. And he's now looked like he's settled as a wing back. We'd be hoping he'd get off. You'd like to have him for that game. I didn't think there was much in his card. And it'll be a good test, a right good test. And very difficult to come out of that with a win now.
Interesting. So the last four championship meetings, we have been very near them. In 18, obviously lost by the point in the final. The 2020, remember the COVID semi, lost by three, we're level on 70 minutes. 2 years ago, 22, lost by three, we were near enough level as well on 70 minutes. Last year was the first time they opened a bit of a gap. They won by nine.
But they have finished very strongly in those three
games.
They
have, yeah.
2020, they got the last 3 points. I know they overturned us one or two times. 2021, Brian Concannon got the goal. We went in front. I think we were level near the end, and David really popped up with 2 points. Last year, I think we went 4 or 5 points up. The ball was cleared off the line, would have gone eight. And then they just took over. They seemed to wear us down. But we have gone close, but they have finished very strongly in all those games.
Yeah, they're very, very dominant. And it seems to be the area after half time as well where they're able to just tear teams asunder. And once they get a run of scores on the board, they seem to be able to lock down the opposition puck out and just get a green flow going for 7 or 8 team players. And they can put 1-5 in you.
And shoot from distance. Like, there's not a lot of goals coming.
And they did that to Kilkenny in All-Ireland final this year. After half time, looked like Kilkenny were in a very good position. And within 7 or 8 minutes later, they were chasing the game.
And even last week against Tipperary, Tip got a goal, I think about 2 or 3 minutes to go before half time. It put them, was it 7 up? And Limerick got 4 points or 5 points right before half time. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. All of a sudden, the goal was wiped out straight away. And they got a second goal. And I think Limerick got 6 or 7 points straight away after that again. They seem to be able to get scores very, very easy.
Now, to me, I thought we played an awful lot of long ball into our forwards last Sunday, right? You know, we've been touting the arrival of Eamon O'Shea and his, you know, the ingenious work he'll bring to the forward line. To a degree, do you accept that last Sunday was the second meeting of Dublin this year in Galway? There's another meeting coming in May. I accept that you probably are not going to show your hand. But on the flip side of this, say Limerick have taken us out of the last two championships at semi-final stage. Do we need to come with something different even on Sunday now? I mean, we are struggling in terms of winning primary possession. If we don't win the ball against these boys, they will make you pay. Like, so do we need to come with some variety or something different?
I think Galway no more than any team would have had different approaches. Let's say Clare would have gone as close to them as any team, and a lot of inter-county teams would be looking at saying, how were Clare doing, what way they're doing to match it. And there was areas there in last year's championship, but Clare were actually getting a lot off their own puck out against Limerick weren't getting set quick enough. There was
chinks,
talk around that chinks coming a little in the armour, and it's like anything else, you'll be looking at different pockets. I think Galway have tried a couple of bits different slightly over the years, and it'll take something different. I think it'll take multiple different things in multiple different times now that I'm in the game. it's not like if you break it down into a, just let's say a sweeper system, if you call it a sleeper system, one type of system, if you played a sweeper system again an intercounty team for the whole game now, a strong intercounty team, the chances are they'll figure it out in seven to 10 minutes,
yeah,
and they'll do something to nullify that. So I think it'll be multiple systems. I take your point on board, Sean, about the bit more direct, because if you're predictable in your direct approach, a team will build on that over a period of time. So variation is the key. Can you move the ball? Can you get who you want on the ball? Can you get
pockets, can you move them?
Pockets, yeah, in the middle of the field? Mm. And are you able to match their physicality? Are you able to break down their good quality of ball inside to Flanagan, inside to Galan, inside to this O'Dolly that was playing the last night? The quality of ball that they seem to get is very, very good. So how do you match them in that middle third? And then how do you score goals against them, which Tip have a knack of doing fairly well and got a good few goals in Cork last weekend against them, and Clare have that ability as well. Galway not so much over the few times they've played them over the years. I think if you're to beat Limerick, you need to rack up goals.
If you're looking at, going aside from this next year's league, Limerick, Galway, Tip, Clare, Kinney, Wexford and Cork, it whets the appetite, yeah, like the game obviously does at the weekend. And what a double header we have in Pearse Stadium. It's going to be the game, Galway Limerick is going to be a big game. I think if we put in a performance, whether we win or lose, I don't know, does it make that much of a difference in the sense that it's the league and you just hope no one gets injured, but we need a performance, and maybe I think that would suffice on Sunday just or Saturday to give a right good performance of the team in Pearse Stadium against a team that's going to come up with most of their All-Ireland winning team. I think the guys, Declan Hannans, these are out injured, Sean Finn, they're obviously not back yet. I think they nearly have everybody else, and they've gone strong, Limerick. And if we can match them and, you know, put up a performance, I think most Galway fans would be happy enough.
Yeah, 5 weeks to the championship from now on. I know Galway have a week in the heat, that they're planning within that frame, which is something they haven't done for a while either. So they'll probably get a decent bounce off that, you would imagine, as well. You know, putting the team, bringing them together even for a month, or not for a week, I should say. You know, you will get a bounce from that. So I suppose it's not the end of the world to go out of the league really now. As Niall says, probably performance is what you're looking for, isn't it?
Definitely, performance. Yeah. Like, you want to win that game. That's the bottom line. Limerick will want to win that game. I think it was a good test, another competitive game, and I think it'll give the county a lift if we were to win that, especially in Pearse Stadium. So I'd say go full steam ahead to try and win it, irrelevant of the training plans there in the coming weeks and the Leinster Championship.
Finally, before we go, we have to say the best luck to the three schools teams that are in action. We talked about it the last week as well, but like, it's a fantastic achievement for the three schools, for St Enda's, for Clarstawira in Ballygare, and St Raphael's, to be in All-Ireland finals. That's the ultimate. You're both in teaching backgrounds. You know what the impact around the school, what it can bring. So look, we wish the best luck to the three schools.
Absolutely, the best luck to the three of them. Obviously, by the time this goes out, maybe one of the games might be over.
Yeah.
Clarstawira, Ballygare, that's on in Tullagh. 2:30 now on Friday.
Time change.
Another two games on Saturday, and it's fantastic for the schools involved. It's fantastic for schools hurling in Galway that there's three schools involved at various different levels, from three different parts of the county as well. You have the city, you have the town in Loughrea, and you obviously have a rural part of the county out in Ballygare, as we see, where they're doing great work, and there's a couple of Roscommon lads playing as well. And I'm sure the Four Roads people and the Athlete people will be delighted to see their men in action as well on the All-Ireland final. So the best luck to the three teams.
The three games will be streamed on Galway FM as well, so you can hear them all, whatever, they're not on FM for obvious reasons with them all coming together, but you can pick them up on the stream.
Yeah, and I know, Sean, you mentioned that there's 5 weeks to the Senior Championship, but prior to that, the Galway Minors and Galway Under-20s will be in action. Yeah. I think it's the early April, the first week in April, is it, the Under 20s,
is it
then
the 6th or something
around that line, the Under 20s are playing, the minors are starting after that as well, so there's championship games coming thick and fast.
You're doing well to keep up with everything, lads.
Talk to you, lads. Thanks a million.